Welcome to The Advertising Show, America's only radio program focusing on advertising, media, marketing, product development, branding, new media, sales and customer relations. Stay with us for entertaining marketing discussion and our special guest interview. Now, here are your hosts, Ray Schillens and Brad Forsythe.
Welcome back to The Advertising Show with Ray Schillens and Brad Forsythe. The Advertising Show being brought to you by Advertising Age Magazine. Visit them online at adage.com and by Captivate Network. Visit them at captivate.com. The Advertising Show being a Big Radio Midgets production means this thing is sometimes off the wall, okay? And off the charts and underrated, overperforming, and what else? ADHD. So we've got what a great interview we've got coming your way today. I hope that you tuned in because of that. It's like, I got to find out what this guy is talking about. It's a brand new book. It's called WIF, The Revolution of Silent or Scent Communication in the Information Age. WIF. It's not what happens when you try to hit the golf ball. No. Mm. It's C. Russell Brumfield. And we've got him on today from the Tampa, Florida area, Tampa St. Pete. So what a pretty area that is down there. So we have him. Let's see, who else do we have coming up momentarily? I've got, for your listening enjoyment, Gene Bliss, the customer experience. Practice drastic listening. That's what a good interviewer does. That's what a good client does. And that's what a good vendor does as well. That's coming up momentarily. A little bit later on in the show, our brand new feature, Shamin Abbas, Activist for Excellence. And basically, in order for your clients to buy into what you do for them, you've got to become enthusiastic about their business as well, not just about yours. So that's what Shamin is talking about. And we'll talk about Russell's bio here. It's long, and I'm sure he's well-prepared. So we'll do a true-false questions, the first segment. Is that right, Brad?
And multiple choice.
Multiple choice, and then we'll have essay questions on
essay
the last.
The third, yes.
I love that. So what do you have there, Yohan?
Well, I want to just also throw in, Ray, OpenEd.net, a great company that we are strategically aligned with here on the show, and they have brought many, many listeners through their website. From mostly in the European marketplaces around the world. And we want to invite, I want to welcome all of our new listeners that may be coming through our OpenEd.net relationship from around the world. And also, as you mentioned at the top of the show, Captivate Network, great company owned by Gannett. Glad to have both of those new advertisers aboard. I wanted to mention MTV unveiled, Ray, an online music guide that I got to tell you, I think they just are so much on the money here. It's a guide designed to help viewers learn more about the music that they hear on MTV channels. Soundtrack.mtv.com is a real-time listening of all the music played on MTV shows as well as MTV channel, including the short music clips that are heard on such shows as The Hills, very popular program, The Real World, and of course your favorite, Ray, My Super Sweet 16. No, not really. But anyway, the guy.
That sounds illegal, doesn't it?
Well, it's
yeah.
Expert.
Right.
These girls have rich mommies and daddies. Yeah. Anyway, the guide also will keep archives of all songs played as their launch takes place here this past week, providing listings by day, show, and time, as well as a look ahead of what songs are to be played the next 24 hours. So I think MTV, with their soundtrack site, is obviously positioning themselves more as a not only a place to go for music, but more of a music discovery tool, if you will. I think it sounds a little bit like YouTube in that they're allowing artists to have the opportunity to create their own profile pages in addition to accessing all that MTV content, where they can upload as much music as they like for fans to stream, post videos, promote upcoming events, etc. So that's a kind of a mix. It's a little bit of MySpace combined with content streamed out of MTV from MTV content. So I think it's a great idea.
That's a cool deal. We have a client that we're working with right now who's doing a very similar thing as well with the artists and such. It's a great idea. There's a lot of competition out there, and it's good to see that MTV has gotten into that game, so to speak. Gene Bliss is with us here. Practice listening and drastic listening. Let's find out what that's all about.
Welcome to the customer experience, making customers your true priority for a profitable outcome. with your host, author, speaker, consultant, and customer crusader, Jean Bliss.
There's no simpler way to improve your customer experience than having executives and others through your company call customers who left you and practice drastic listening. Companies who are making traction with this action keep it simple. They provide people with 5 to 10 customers per month to call, and that's all it usually takes. They are finding that there is more power in 20 minutes of listening to a customer who has taken their business away from them than any 5 customer satisfaction survey report meetings where, by the way, our eyes start to roll into the back of our heads after too much data. They're following up this drastic listening with the work to categorize the issues, which are now taken personally and understood at a basic human level. And they are getting traction because the execs rally to make the customer pain go away. The fact that these are the issues driving most customers away is tied to ROI, which connects everything very neatly and makes the work powerful, simple, and attainable. At last!
This has been your weekly installment of The Customer Experience with Jean Bliss. Directing transformational customer insights for major U.S. market leaders, Jean is corporate America's change agent for a new inspirational understanding of today's consumer. To learn more about Jean's books and speaking engagements, or simply how to drive customer profitability for your company, log on to customerbliss.com.
Drastic listening. That's what your mother said right before she got the paddle out. Practicing. You're not listening to me. Hey, this is kind of cool. We just got the August issue of Esquire magazine. There is a parody on there with Stephen Colbert, who is a famous TV personality. Okay.
Right. Comedy Network.
Comedy. Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's huge, right? But he is pierced with arrows, kind of like George Lois. On the inside, it says here, open here to see the historic cover that inspired this one. Hmm. Copycats. Esquire magazine has Muhammad Ali,
yeah,
The Passion of Muhammad Ali from April of 1968, when the magazine only cost $1. So I thought that very interesting. So if you're getting the Esquire magazine, you're getting a parody or a copy of the one that George Lois did so many years ago, 68. I thought that was kind of neat. I said, I've seen that picture before. Where did I see that?
I wonder if George had a hand in that. I just spoke with George via email, I should say, about the New Yorker cover, which is, you know, very controversial about Obama and his wife and all that.
Yeah, how weird was that?
Wanted to get his take on it. He wasn't very pleased about it, although he said even dummies must realize it's satirical. I'm not sure that everybody gets that, but anyway.
Yeah, but, and it's funny, he has to know about this. I mean, come on, how can you pull something out like that? But his name, and I can't see that it's mentioned anywhere, unfortunately, as it should be. But but anyway, interesting thing. So if you get Esquire magazine, you get the August issue, you see what I'm talking about, the Colbert thing pierced with arrows. Very interesting. With Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth. I've got a bit of a bio here. I'm going to start it and we'll stop for the break and then we'll continue, okay? C. Russell Brumfield is a classic entrepreneur with a keen ability to identify upcoming trends and to harness their potential with an endless curiosity that is diverse as his career. He's a student of science, technology, business, marketing, philosophy, religion, and metaphysics. He majored in all of those, I guess. His interest and experience have afforded him the insight to grasp the nature and potential of the pioneering field of scent communications. That is S-C-E-N-T. It's a brand new book, and it's called Whiff, the Revolutionary, a Revolution of Scent Communication in the Information Age. And we have a lot to talk about, so let's take a break. We'll come back and get Russ on the phone here.
Here comes another typical commercial. I could get your attention by blowing a foghorn, or maybe an awesome scream. But even that doesn't cut through the clutter enough to really captivate your attention. If you're an advertiser and you really want your message to be heard, then reach for the golden nugget of advertising. It's what's called a captive audience. One company delivers this much sought-after captive audience. And believe it or not, it's just the people you want to reach, business professionals and decision makers. It all happens in 23 of North America's largest and most progressive markets. And the captive audience is right there in the elevators of select premier office towers. Over 8,000 high-quality video screens get people's attention with what research proves they want, news and information. It's all combined with your branded message in a way that only this captive audience sees and absorbs. Cut the waste in your advertising budget by reaching just who you want to reach. Don't just advertise. Captivate your audience. To find out more, click on Captivate.com.
Make your advertising dollars work smarter. You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Schillings and Brad Forsyth.
Ella Fitzgerald. She's attempting to shatter a glass with her amplified voice.
Ray Schillings, Brad Forsyth back for our interview segments here with the author of WIF, The Revolution of Scent Communication in the Information Age. It is Russell Brumfield. Russell, it is so good to have you here at The Advertising Show. Welcome.
Well, it's so good to be had, and thank you. It's very nice to be here. I'm very appreciative of your interest in the book.
Thank you.
Yeah, and if you're a new listener to the show, you may not realize this, but when we feature an author, it's a great book, and Ray and I and our staff take a vote on authors that we're going to have on our show. And if they're on our show, it's a book we recommend. And
it's a great book. Like. Yeah, right, exactly.
Yeah, we like to say it's passed the sniff test, but, you know, I don't want to play off of the title of the
book. In this particular case, it smells pretty good, yeah.
That's true. Yeah, we're going to talk a little bit
of
about
all of
that.
My puns that I have coming. So.
We won't use any more. We're sorry, Russell.
Yeah, I understand, Russell, the Scent Marketing Institute just completed the Scent World Conference and Expo in New York recently, and of course you gave the keynote speech, and you know they're not stupid. They lead with their strength there. Give us a sense of the new and exciting things attendees saw at the event above and beyond your, of course, eventful keynote address.
Right. Well, just about the Scent Marketing Institute, a German transplant named Harald Vogt, just a few years ago, had a good idea as he saw this whole thing happening, this whole scent, we call it tsunami of scent, happening. He decided to try to put the industry together. It took a few years. All around the world, technology was coming out, emerging, as research was emerging, and the research is amazing about the effects of scent on the consumer brain. And frankly, it took a couple of years, but finally we all had this group of a few hundred people came together for the first time from over 20 countries to share and meet each other for the first time, this disparate group, all involved in the same field, but not having ever, most of them don't know each other. It was exciting. What we learned a lot was about the research. That's what the book is about, and about the technology and delivery systems. The point is that there's good scotch and bad scotch, and frankly, there's everything in between. And so the same goes with fragrance, perfumes, and scent. This is not a perfume, but it's the same industry, the fragrance industry.
Hmm.
And in the same time period, in 20 years ago, we had, you know, we used candles for emergencies and dinner, you know, for special dinners. In that time period, in 20 years, the scented candle business and home freshers went from zero to a couple billion dollars 10 years ago to over $8.5 billion now.
Wow.
The scent business has blown up when it comes to making us feel good or the customer's choice and saying, ooh, that makes me feel good.
Hmm.
So we had a tremendous conference and a lot of good press, and the advertising community, I think, finally became very aware.
Well, let's talk about some of the basics. I think a lot of people, when they think of, scent marketing or just in a general sense, I should say, they know about aromatherapy, and you're alluding to candles and so forth, and that this is something that can change people's mood and so forth. But I don't think that a lot of people out there understand the basics of scent marketing and that it's really been around for a while. Give us some background and some of the more common channels, if you will, of how scent is executed.
Well, scent marketing in general was a term just developed just a few years ago, but frankly, you know, General Motors has been using $2 million worth of scent to sell their cars for the last, you know, 20 years. Every year they order up leather scent, which is really manufactured. So manufactured scents to sell products has been happening for about three decades with a lot of research happening. But the people using it first and foremost, people like Pepsi, Coca-Cola, Kraft Foods, Procter & Gamble, your Tides, your soaps, all of those, that particular aspect of scent marketing has been happening exponentially. You'll find that, you know, the dish soaps and the, what they call functional fragrances for home products in everything you use at home has been used for many, many years, and it's getting better and better. They look at niche marketing. Scent marketing is not just do I want it pleasant, but you have to look at scent and smells because they are not universal. Just like we all don't like the same music, we certainly all don't like the same smells. Hmm. There are only a few universal scents. So knowing your target market and your demographic and their lifestyles, the cultures themselves, the way that women smell versus men and Asians versus Hispanics, it's a science. It's a consumer science that's been really perfected. And you can see that Procter & Gamble, which is one of the biggest users of fragrance in their products, how well they do, along with a lot of other companies, Unilever and a lot of others.
So you talk. You talk about delivery systems. Is there various means of getting scent connection from a product to a consumer?
Right. What we call it is the fragrance media, just like the rest of the media. Fragrance media is not only a singular term for delivering scent through scent marketing in your multimedia in your integrated media marketing, but it's also individually. You can deliver it in so many different aspects, and that's what we write about in the book a lot. But the advent of microencapsulation, which is used for a lot of different things, but it came about. We remember scratch and sniff that happened about 30 years ago,
where
they actually put scent into microencapsulated pods. So that they could be released by scratching. Well, that's been improved and improved so you can have all different types of release. Well, now we embed microencapsulation into inks and varnishes for newspapers and magazines. We embed them in plastics for credit cards, affinity cards, and through fabrics. The fabric, we just talked to fashion people yesterday, for the fashion industry is really growing through this microencapsulation release. It's through touch release or through slow release, time-wise. There's a lot of different aspects, along with nanotechnology and macro-micro technology and environmental release, meaning that your cell phone of the future will have a release system, what they call nanotechnology, your video gaming, a lot, your home entertainment system. Those are release systems that are environmental in small, localized areas. And then if you walked into a Westin nowadays, or you walk into a Saks Fifth Avenue, Bloomingdale, you have environmental release. So those are all different delivery type systems, technologies that have been just amazing, have been perfected and are still being perfected.
Russell Brumfield is our special guest here, author of Whiff, The Revolution of Scent Communication in the Information Age. Lots more to talk about. We hope you stick around at The Advertising Show.
Why do more media professionals read iwantmedia.com? iwantmedia.com features reports from industry leaders and media personalities. iwantmedia.com gives you quick access to news, stats, trade orgs, and industry publications, and it's updated daily. Forbes says iwantmedia.com contains everything media professionals need to stay ahead of the game. The Washington Post calls it the source for the serious media geek. Do you get it? If you don't, you should. To sign up for free daily email alerts, visit iwantmedia.com.
Make informed decisions about your company's advertising strategy. This is The Advertising Show.
What is this, a sleepwalking contest? Where's your laugh, your jazz?
Welcome back. It's The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth. And Russell Brumfield is the author of Whiff, The Revolution of Scent Communication in the Information Age. And, you know, Russell, you mentioned before about walking into stores, whether it be Saks or Dillard's or something. There is indeed that smell that is so unique and wonderful. It gets you in the mode to shop and do something there. And I wanted to ask you a quick question too here about MRSA. You know, we haven't heard much about MRSA.
as it relates to, this is an infection that's very tough to get rid of. Apparently, a lot of people are getting it, including my sister-in-law and father-in-law now have that thing. And you talk about scent being able to ward off things like that. What's that all about?
Well, in traveling the world with a good excuse to interview researchers in universities, we came upon what I consider the biggest information, and that was the superbug. That's what MRSA, with its methicillin-resistant Staphylococcus aureus, or the superbug, they call it, or the staph infection that never goes away.
Yeah.
When 2 million people go into a hospital every year with no infection, they catch one there, hospital-acquired. Out of those people, 100,000 people die, which is about 5%. The people who catch MRSA, which is a result of antibiotic nation from overuse of antibiotics all these years, 20% of those people die. It's a really, really heavy-duty thing. It's a worldwide epidemic, and there's nothing that really gets rid of it. It's in the air. 2.5 million Americans are carrying it in their nose. 53 million people around the world. It's airborne. And it's negative, and it's a little worrisome. Well, only a few things kill it, and it doesn't go away. So a research in a small university study in a burn ward. Burn wards on hospitals are where they catch the worst place for infection.
That sounds right,
for
yeah.
7 months, 10 months totally, that came out this last year. It's just being published in two major medical magazines in a couple of months. Showed that essential oils, which are plant oils, which where we get pharmaceuticals, used in the study, eradicated 90% of all infectious microbes within the air within a 7 month period when they used them. Anyway, it dropped to 90%, dropped to 10%, and that's because it walks in the air and comes in and out, meaning that the MRSA. MRSA is the big bad infectious microbe. Bottom line is that with that, they learned a lot because of the fact that when they pulled the machines out, when they pulled the scent from the essential oils out, it went right back up. There wasn't one outbreak on the ward the entire time of this study, and that's giant news. And the same researchers have similar research in eradicating things like bird flu and a lot of other bacteria. As a advertising marketing piece of this, thinking out of the box, it's about in the future creating safe zones, creating safe products, actually having antimicrobials that are natural and, frankly, do not hurt you or toxic. Most everything that kills microbes in the air nowadays are toxic. Most of it's toxic that they use in the hospitals. You have to clear the room in order to do it. This essential oil study, it's called BioScent. It's an amazing thing. It's exciting. And there's an entire multi-billion dollar future here with Green Zone, we call it Green Zone, the BioScent in schools. They're closing down schools. Teenagers are dying.
Wow.
In prisons, it's a hotbed. So it's a whole new entire industry that is being born right now that will take scent and essential oils into a multi-billion dollar new field.
I'm glad I asked that question. Go ahead, Brad.
I was going to say, you have a psychological as well as a physiological background of why scent triggers certain emotions. This is not just Russell Broomfield's opinions about this. And you touched also on an interesting subject that we'll get to later, which it sounds like there's this greenification of scent marketing where people are a little sensitive about what they are smelling and whether it's an all-natural scent versus some chemical or whatever. But staying with the original idea here, lay some groundwork as to the psychological and physiological basis for a lot of your understanding of scent marketing.
Well, first and foremost is that there's been 25 years of a database collected by some major multi-billion dollar fragrance companies on when we smell a certain thing, we get a certain reaction emotionally. Alpha waves, beta waves, theta waves. We found what we call their triggers. We found emotional triggers are all over the board. We are hardwired. First, everything smells. There's nothing that doesn't smell in the universe, from moon dust and rocks and grass and trees, water. Everything smells, and it smells with its own unique signature scent, including us, you may see a deer, but deer all individually have a unique signature scent. So the design, the original design is that scent has a purpose and identification first. And not just identification, but when I smell, I not only know where I'm at, who's there, the location, and safety. We have two warning systems that we use for scent. And that is, we have the olfactory system, and we have a trigeminal nerve. We have two nerves in our face that we utilize to say, is there fire, fight or flight? But the biggest news is that the other four senses, the taste, touch, sound, tactile, taste, touch, sound, and sight, are all hardwired to our left brain. We see a bear, we say that's a bear. We see a dog, we say it's a dog. We hear it, it barks. But when we smell it, we feel it. We smell a dog, and we say that smells like a dog. Bottom line is that the right brain is where the olfactory nerve is completely hardwired into the limbic system. When we smell, we feel. And that's what researchers and that's what advertisers need to know, is that when I see a thing, I judge it first. When I smell it, I have an immediate feeling and a reaction.
Wow.
That's not just it. It gives me a perception. I perceive things. A woman perceived 6 months or 6 years younger in a study, or 12 pounds lighter in another study. We perceive people as more attractive or less attractive due to scent, and same with spaces. We have another study that perceives an area, like a condo, to be look bigger than it really is. They're using that now in MRIs for people who are claustrophobic.
Sure.
But scent is an absolute messaging system. It's a signaling system. It has a purpose as a language, and we've now harnessed that with all the research in order to create a language for an advertiser to use it in scent marketing. But there's a process to understanding how to use it, and that's what we teach about in the book.
More to come here on The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth. The book is called WHIP, The Revolution of Scent Communication in the Information Age. And out of Florida, it's Russell Brumfield, our special guest. Stay with us.
How can 18 different companies all sell the exact same thing known as water? It starts here, in Advertising Age, the leading source for marketing, advertising, media, and ideas. For almost 75 years, we've covered the most thought-provoking, groundbreaking stories in the industry, giving you the competitive edge to be a leader. Your job demands you not only have good ideas, but great ideas. And those great ideas have to start somewhere. And that somewhere is in the pages of Advertising Age, and also online at adage.com. How can you get someone's attention if you don't have $10 million in a celebrity endorsement? It starts here, in Advertising Age, the leading source for marketing, advertising, media, and ideas. For almost 75 years, we've covered the most innovative and groundbreaking stories in the industry, giving you the competitive edge to be a leader. The next big idea demands out-of-the-box thinking. Start your search for greatness in the pages of Advertising Age, and also online at adage.com.
Simplifying the complex world of advertising. To reach Ray and Brad with your questions, log on to theadvertisingshow.com. This is The Advertising Show.
Meow, 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 meow.
You really need to get this book, WHIF, The Revolution of Scent Communication in the Information Age. An incredible book, and Russell Brumfield is our special guest out of Florida. Russell, so good to have you here at The Advertising Show.
Yeah, and you know, for our listeners, what Russell was touching on last segment is just a sense of what you get when you read this book. One of your chapters, Russell, you talk about the three categories of scenting. You talk about perfume, functional scents, as well as communication scents. Delineate for us the difference between the three, if you would.
Well, we all know about the last many thousands of years from the Egyptians onto the French, who took it over, of the perfume industry. And that's being used, perfumes being used in specific reasons of making us smell better. And we are very aware of that. The functional fragrance industry, which is an entire area itself, is what we were talking about with soaps, with cosmetics, anything that has a functional use that's fragranced for a particular reason, and that is to entice you to buy it. It's a form of scent marketing. Communication scents, and we call them either communication scents or non-traditional scents, like the bio scent would be non-traditional,
communication scent is a tool, and that is I may use it to trigger you for a particular reason. We have a tremendous amount of triggers that we found out. We itemize about a dozen of them in the book, and that is relaxation, alertness. We may trigger desire. We may trigger a Proustian effect. The biggest and most successful sales receipts increases are in Proustian effects, and that Marcel Proust wrote a book called Remembrance of Things Past. It's about nostalgia, and the scientists have coined this Proustian effect, and that is when I smell a thing, I immediately get a trigger that puts me into another time, another place, usually pleasant, and I get a picture, and I get a memory, and a feeling and an instinct, and that reduces the amount of time that you feel you're spending. And if I can do what P&G says, the FMOT, first moment of truth, if I can trigger a nostalgic event when you're at the retail shelf or you're looking at my brand and smelling it, I now have given a pleasant stamp, a tattoo on your brain. I have more time in store, more time in front of my product, and I put you in a good mood. And those nostalgic scents are really cultural and demographic-wise, age-wise, women, men, good science. That is one of the best ways, that's one of the best triggers to be able to use.
You know, I think it's such a fascinating subject. And what you were just speaking about, I think we can all relate to times in our past where we smell something today and it puts us right back, you know, 10, 20, 30 years. I want to talk a little bit. We touched on it last segment. I would think with the greenification of marketing, it's a hot subject right now. You know, as we talk about the fascination of scent marketing and how to communicate via scent, do you anticipate, not to be negative, but to be realistic here, Russell, do you anticipate consumers getting a little more hypersensitive about, you know, what am I smelling? Is it chemical? Is it all natural? And maybe a tendency for your industry to move more into an all-natural field as opposed to chemical-derived scents, if you will?
Well, first and foremost, the synthetics, or what they call aroma oils, are 99.9% made from natural products. They're made from terpenes, pine, resins, that kind of thing. It's a molecular structure change. But honestly, yes, the two things that we have is what about allergies and what about people who are, sensitive?
Sure.
Well, according to an FDA study, six-year study, there was 1 in 1 million complaints about scent in the air first, and out of those complaints, was mostly perfume areas, counters of stores, which I stay away from. They're pretty heavy. And and the woman next to you at work who's wearing too much perfume because she's adapted to it and can't smell it, and she can't smell her cats at home either.
Right.
Bottom line is you have that area of worry, and the negative concept is that the greenification aspect, the purity of such, this is a giant worldwide regulated industry that frankly knows what it's doing, or it wouldn't have gotten the $20 billion from which quintupled in the last 20 years.
Sure.
But we do have specifically in environmental and scent marketing, what's nice is the pure oils, the pure aspects of you could, like I said, cheap scotch and good scotch, is that they're utilizing mostly the good scotch and pure oils in scent marketing. And you can tell when it's not. I'm going to tell you that there's some Fortune 500s that have rolled out some programs that I consider that they're using a lesser brand of, or cheaper or synthetic that's not working, and they find out they don't have any ROI. We have proof, case study after case study of proof of ROI in this field. And
I think as consumers become more educated about this, Russell, through reading books such as yours and exposure through publicity, they'll get a little more, sensitive about what those sources are, and the industry will naturally gravitate in that more natural way, won't you think?
Well, yeah, and unfortunately we are out of time here, Brad. We are running a little bit long, but I'll tell you, go get the book. There are so many things we didn't get a chance to touch on. The visit to the olfactory factory. What is your whiff factor? I'd love to find out more about that as well. And of course,
endorphin branding. Please, endorphin branding is the reason to buy the book. You'll be glad you did.
There you go.
Not to mention chapter on the scent of sex. Which
scent,
was
or Danger Will Robinson. I like that one, too. Hey, Russell, it's been a blast having you here. Russell out of Florida, and the book is called Whip, the Revolution of Scent Communication in the Information Age. I hope you sell a gazillion of these books.
We're doing great. Thanks, guys. I really appreciate the opportunity.
Thanks, Russell. Back with more here in just a moment on The Advertising Show.
There is somewhere better to get inspired creative ideas, and this is where it's at. OpenAd.net, the first online platform for advertisers, changing the way that ideas are created and traded. Access nearly 11,000 creative minds representing 125 countries around the world, waiting online to have a go at your brief. Imagine the impact such range and diversity of talent can have on your next advertising campaign. All creative work is IP cleared before you get it. We take care of all the details, while you get brilliant ideas in a fraction of the time, at a lower cost, and with a lot less fuss. No endless meetings, no away days. When a client needed a PR campaign to include people who couldn't make it to the G8 rally, they got 53,000 people to join a virtual protest and a campaign that won 2 international creative awards. OpenAd.net, busting down the walls of the ad industry. Put us to the test. Just go to openad.net and give us a try. What have you got to lose? The future starts here.
You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Schillins and Brad Forsythe.
The scent of beer. You can tell if it's a Miller or not. You know, there is truth to that. I can smell a Blue Moon and say, hey, that's a Blue Moon. Talking on scent here with Ray Schillins and Brad Forsythe on The Advertising Show. Shamin Abbas is with us now for a quick segment. It's basically, if you get enthusiastic about your client's business, that's probably a good thing. Let's find out what she's talking about.
And now, it's time for Activist for Excellence. PR, publicity, and crisis management instruction for today's marketing professional. Now, here's your host, the uncompromising Shamin Abbas.
It is a publicist's job to be a champion for his or her client. So much so that members of the media and other assorted people who come into contact with publicists tend to attribute their enthusiasm to a paycheck and nothing more. In a perfect world, a PR firm only takes on clients whom it really believes in, and is therefore quite easy to be just as enthusiastic about that client's business as he or she is. The sincere enthusiasm can really make a difference in your communication with the media. A reporter is trained to sniff out insincerity, so it is really vital that a PR firm endeavors to fall a little bit in love with the client's story. This crush on the client's business is essential to coming across as a believer, not just a hired gun. It's standard to have the objective opinion that a new client's business is promotable. But an effective publicist needs to become a convert, a champion. That is what will help you sell it better, more effectively and sincerely. There is simply no substitute for sincere enthusiasm. It's about taking the research you did when you were first pitching that client and mixing the human element. Asking your clients for an hour to sit and hear their story, the genesis of their idea or product that is core of their business. By making the commitment to know and understand your client's unique story, you'll become a bit of a convert to their mission and beliefs, and that will make you so much more believable and effective when you're pitching. There is always something that you can grab onto, and that will build an intrinsic loyalty to the client and make you sound and feel authentic. On every level, that authentic belief in your client comes across. It makes you work just a bit harder, makes you more credible, and keeps you going when progress sometimes hits a lull and makes you feel a sense of pride when you accomplish the goals on your client's behalf.
You've been listening to Activist for Excellence, PR, publicity, and crisis management instruction for today's marketing professional with host Shamin Abbas. Shamin is president and founder of Shamin Abbas Public Relations, a full-service agency providing local, regional, national, and international media relations, special event production, and inventive promotion, with offices in New York City and West Palm Beach. To learn more, visit ShaminAbbasPR.com. That's ShaminAbbasPR.com.
Thanks much, Shamin. On the Advertising Show, it's Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth. And thanks again to Russell Brumfield, author of Whiff, The Revolution of Scent, Communication in the Information Age. Today we had a very special show. It was not Smell-O-Vision. What was it called, Brad?
Smell-Casting.
Smell-Casting, okay. Something brand new. And ironically, in about 10 years, we'll probably be able to do that for you, okay? Maybe that's a good thing, or maybe that's not a good thing. I don't know. Robin Spisman, our guest, is next week. She's the author of Where's Your Wow? Where is your wow? Where is it? Do you have a wow? Did you lose
good
it?
Question.
Do I sound like George Carlin? Wow. anyway, that's next week, and that's a good thing. Hope you enjoyed the show today, powered by Shipple.com and a platform called Tenancy, an incredible marketing platform here at the Advertising Show, and it could be on your website as well. Advertising Show is brought to you by Advertising Age Magazine. Visit online at adage.com. And by Captivate Network. You can visit them at Captivate.com. With Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth, the Advertising Show is a Big Radio Midgets production.